My name's Wendell. I'm living loved by God, discovering what that means. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, rage, depression, and panic attacks. I've had two or three different directions I felt like I should go all week long and never could settle on one. And so I didn't even want to be here tonight. I played twice at Greenwood this morning, and we went home and ate lunch. I took a short nap, and when I woke up, I don't know if you all face depression like this, but I can go to sleep fine, no problems. And I woke up and I thought, screw the world. I don't want to live. I don't want to be. I do not want to come and do this. And it was just like, no. And coming down the hill, Glen Lily Hill, coming here, I just about pulled in the driveway and turned around and went back home and thought, I'll just call Lou and say, dude, is there something you can do? Because, I mean, I was scraping, and no explanation. You don't need one. That's just the way depression hits. And so if we're going to be family, you got to let me be family too. You know, and I'm just as human as anybody else, I didn't have suicidal ideations, but I thought, if I had a wreck or something, I don't want to hurt her, but I thought, well, that would be so terrible. But what's interesting is that the thing that I settled on prior to my nap is I wanted to talk about depression. So it's like God said, okay, here you go, booyah, you're depressed. So you can talk from your heart tonight. But I want to talk about time, the way we look at time, and then how that plays into depression. So there are several things that could set my depression off, and I'm just going to assume that I'm not the only one. Being in Pathway has taught me that the old lie that you're the only one is just that, it's a lie. When you get in a group of people and you start to share your stuff, you realize, oh, shoot, I'm not the only one who deals with the stuff I deal with. So I'm going to assume that your story's semi-similar to mine. So when you talk about time, the only way we know how to deal with time, and this is not going to be a philosophical discussion, it's going to get real, but to start with, we have to get philosophical. The only way we know how to talk about time is in the past, in the present, and in the future. We don't really have any other way in our human brains to deal with time. I've heard that they've done studies to try to explain eternity to a human in a way that, I don't know how science could determine this, in a way that the human really grasped it and understood it. And according to the studies, the human brain is not designed to understand eternity. It's not designed to understand timelessness. That we have to think in categories of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or in the past, right now, and what is to come. Okay, so let's talk about the past for a minute. When we think a lot about the past, what depresses us, or what sends us into depression? Me, it's shame and regret. I don't know if that's, and the other one is anger and revenge. Does that ring true? Past and blaming me, right? Looking at the past and feeling bad about the past and saying it's my fault. I did something wrong, or I am a failure. I'm just a colossal failure. So it's kind of anger, but it's turned inward. And then we can look at the past. Okay, that's all pointed, arrows all pointed at me. But then the other way we can look at the past and say it was their fault. It was my dad's fault. It was my mom's fault. It was my live-in's fault. It was my teacher's fault. It was my neighbor's fault. It was my boss's fault. It was my brother, my sister, whatever. It was, you know. So that is, I mean, right there, that pushes the revenge button. That pushes the I want to hurt somebody button. That pushes the anger button. And so those things, when there's no release for them, those things whether it's shame or anger, either one, if those are your focus, if they're left unresolved, they will almost always, you stuff them down, and inevitably you wake up from a nap and you're depressed. It's just like, so that's living in the past. That's the two toxic ways of looking at it. It's all my fault or it's all their fault. Isn't it interesting that we as humans always have to blame somebody? Really? Life just doesn't happen. We have to blame somebody, always. So that's in the past. Well, so let's leave the present alone for now and let's look at the future. So when you look at the future, you've still got the same baggage, but now you're looking this way and you've got fear and you've got worry and you've got anxiety. I know my track record in the past. What if I really haven't changed? What if I'm prone to repeat the same thing in the future? And the same thing and go with the people that hurt me. I'm going to run into either the same people or people just like them in the future, and we're going to have the same issues again. So we look to the future, and we have fear and worry and anxiety. And way back early in Celebrate Recovery, and I love that word, when we catastrophize something, it usually doesn't happen over a matter of even 5 minutes. It usually takes place in 5 seconds. I don't know how your mind works, but I can go from a hangnail to life-threatening cancer in 5 seconds. I can go from somebody's negative comment about me or to me to I'm fixing to get fired, or I can do that in 5 seconds. My mind can go that way. Yeah, okay, so I'm not the only one. That's this future look. This is dwelling on what about tomorrow? What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? And we can, in our minds, we can make contingency plans. Everybody knows what those are. If this happens, then I'll do that. Or if she says this, then I'll do that. Or I'll say this. Or, you know, we build up, it's all kinds of life insurance policies, but there's no cash involved. Well, there might be. But it's all emotional and mental storehouses, trying to store up all this stuff so that we're ready for what might happen in the future. And so, okay, I've got my pockets loaded with ammunition. I've got all these contingency plans. But just in case, I'm going to have to, you know how parachuters have the one chute? I'm going to have a safety chute. So I'm going to have a contingency plan for the contingency plan. In case plan A doesn't work, I'm going to have plan B. And, well, shoot, just let's go ahead and have plan C. And so we wind up carrying around this load of contingency plans facing the future, and we wonder why we're not excited about the future. It's like, dang, I got a lot of stuff to haul into the future. And I can't depend on myself. He'll show up. You know? So here's the deal with me. Because you know what happened today? I came here. I'm singling you out, Rob. I came here and I met with my friend as soon as I came in. And we start talking about fun stuff. Me and Rob, just the two of us here. It's like, okay, I can do this. I mean, we're doing something as mundane as setting up chairs and setting up the stage, but we're talking, we're fellowshipping, we're having a good time talking about disc golf, amplifiers, and I don't know what else. And then the Tagliabachis got here, and then Loretta got here, and then Justin got here, and we started practicing in the band, and I got two or three songs in, and I thought, okay, there is no depression. I was forced out of the past, and I was forced out of the future, and I was forced right here into the present, where I had people who, when you come to Pathway, I know you're as messed up as I am. So I had people just as messed up as I am who I could link arms with and say, let's make some fun music. Let's experiment with how we're going to do this song and how we're going to do that song. So here I am in the moment, invested in the moment. Not just in the music, but in the conversations. And I mean, I hadn't seen my sister for, 2 weeks? So it was cool. Hug my sister and how you doing and how the grandbabies and catching up with people, and this is all in the moment right now. So this, there, if you're waiting for something really profound tonight, it ain't gonna happen. There's nothing profound here. This is simple, simple, simple as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But I think we need to remind her. Somebody needs to be the talking head that says, "Hey, y'all, let's remember this. Okay, let's come back to this." But you can't go back and change the past. And you're not going to control the future, but you can live this moment right now. Well, this is going to get a little deep. Is down to counting moments in his life. You know, he may live for years. I don't know. He doesn't know. But Wayne knows that his chances are less than they used to be. I mean, he didn't look good this morning, but his demeanor was good. But physically, he didn't look real good. But he is tasting the flavor of every moment that he lives, every encounter that he has, every person he talks to, every thought that goes across his mind, every feeling he feels. He's savoring that, and he tries to walk a little bit every day. And I don't know if you follow his blog, but he's talking about, you know, I'm starting to look at the crow that sits in the yard, and I'm starting to see the pine cones, and I'm starting to see just everyday things that I never noticed before, and now they mean something to me because I want them to mean something to me. You know, I'm not just passing by them. And I mean, if anybody's got a right to be depressed, it'd be Wayne Hunter. And you talk to him, he's not depressed, because he's enjoying every moment he lives. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I mean, I'm getting done quick tonight. But here's something that... So if we live in the moment, this is all we really have. We can't change the past. We can't do anything to tweak the future. But we can live in the moment right now. So how do we do that? How do we live in the moment? And the one thing... I'm in a book club at Greenwood. It's the Brené book, The Gifts of Imperfection. I've read some of her other stuff, and other people I've been reading lately have really started talking about living in gratitude. I don't mean like a kid at about 10:30 on Christmas morning after they've ripped all their presents open, and they're surrounded by all this stuff. They don't know what they're going to do with it. But to have this fleeting moment of, I've hit the lottery, you know, that kind of gratitude. Because you know by Christmas afternoon, they're bored. I'm bored. Don't know what to do. So not that kind of gratitude. The kind of deep, deep gratitude that says, I have lungs that just took that air in. I've got a brain that can appreciate it. I've got a mouth that can tell you I appreciate it. I have friends who appreciate what I just said. That's a lot. That's a lot to think about. Being grateful is not just for the things that God gives you or the things that life gives you. It's not for the presents. It's not for the presents. It's more for the presence. However you phrase it, S-E-N-S-E. It's the presence of God, and not just the presence of God in a song or in a scripture verse or in a prayer, but the presence of God in each other. That I see God in you. When I talk to you, I hear God. Hopefully you see him and hear him in me. And we, folks, if you live like this very long, you begin to just take it for granted. That's sad. That's sad. Because there are a lot of lonely people out there who have nobody to speak for God in their life. They have nobody with any lightness in them to bring light into their life. There's nobody to give them any hope. There's nobody to give them any future, anything at all. And we have ourselves as a family. And we have nature, and we have food, and we have all this stuff all the time. All the time. I know we say that, and just saying it right now, I think, dude, can you think of a better way to say that? Because I said, we say it all the time. They're not hearing you because you say it that way all the time. So they're not hearing you because, you know, you say the same thing over and over. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the God who created the universe. He's tinkering around. He says, how about some light? Boom. You know, how about some cows? How about some horses and chickens? And boom, boom, boom. And this great big huge God who creates all this, this great big God who keeps every single atom together all the time, keeps universes from falling apart and flying apart. This great big huge God is right here in your heart all the time. And he's just a thought away. He's just a conversation away. He's just a... That's... What do you say about that? I mean, that's just like, whoa. And he wants... That's another thing. Wayne has been teaching us lately, and you just brought it up. We have a God who wants to be known. We have a God who wants to be seen and felt. He's not hiding. The reason that we don't see him is because we're not looking for him. It's not that he's hiding. We're so busy looking at... Okay, I said that was the last thing I was going to say, but this... It's Denise's fault. it's Denise's fault. Yeah, we got to blame somebody. No, Wayne sent it was an interview by a British guy who was serving in some kind of, I think it was a leper colony in France. And he was, no, it wasn't a leper colony. It was for special needs people. And so they were interviewing this guy who had worked there for years and years and years. And they say, why do you say that clean themselves when they mess themselves? They can't dress themselves. Why do you say that God is so present with these people? This is heavy. This is so... He said, because this is the guy that worked with them all these years. He said, the reason that you find God with these people is none of them are in search of power and none of them are in search of money. They just all want to be loved. And he said, people, where people want to be loved, that's where God is. That's where God is. And that's where, what do you want? I just want to be loved. I want y'all to love me. And I want to love you all. And that's why we find God here week after week after week, is because we're in search of love. And what Denise said is so true. Love wants to be found. God wants to be found. Wow. All right, we're going to do another song. It's all yours.